If you would, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is, you know, when we look at some things, how many of you ever heard of David and Goliath? Everybody, right? We've been told this story, we've been read this story from the Bible since we were tiny children. It's one of the stories that all children know, and you talk about David and Goliath, it's something that's exciting to them. It's something that they look at, and sometimes as adults we kind of forget some of the things in these stories, in these Bible truths that we learn as a child. You know, as a child we have such great faith and we see it and it's real in our eyes, but as an adult you go back and you look at it. And I want to look at some things in this. Tonight we're going to talk about, is our fear stronger than our belief? Sometimes we say we believe, but our fear overshadows that. So we're going to look at some verses. We're going to start in chapter 2. I'm going to kind of skip around in chapter 17 some. There's two purposes for that. One is I'm going to hit the highlight verses that I want to use, and two is there's some stuff in this chapter that I can't pronounce. So I'm skipping that. It says, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Okay, 6 cubits and a span. I'm a big guy, but he's probably about 3.5 foot taller than I am. So you're looking at pretty big guy. So about 9'6" is what, if I studied it correct, we've got a guy coming out. Their champion's coming out. He's 9'6". And so he comes out, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So we have a giant, a Goliath. He's a giant. The Bible describes him as a giant. And he comes out, and he has a coat that weighs more than my son. You know, my 10-year-old son doesn't even weigh as much as this guy's coat does. And his spear is even heavier than that. And he's coming out, and he's basically mocking and laughing at Israel, the armies of Israel. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that he had such confidence. It doesn't matter. I mean, he's a big guy, so he has confidence that he could beat any of their people. And he comes out, but why would he have such great confidence? Because if you look in history at Israel and their armies, what has God always done for them? He's always his chosen people, right? He protects them. He looks after them. And so at this time, you have an army, and they're afraid. But here's the other thing. They're cowering down over there, and they're unwilling to respond. So every day that this guy goes out, his confidence is getting greater and greater, because no one will stand against him. No one will face him. And so we're going to skip down now and look at verse 23 and 24. Basically, you guys know the story. David, the shepherd's son, he was tending the sheep, but his dad asked him to go take some stuff to his brothers at the battle site where the armies were camped. And so David was going to take some food down, some cheeses and different things there for his brothers, and check on them for his dad, like he was asked to do. And David being a young kid, you know, so he goes to the battle lines, and that's where we're gonna pick up here in verse 23 and 24. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. So these guys, all Goliath had to do is come out and start talking to them and mocking them. And it says they basically ran and hid. They were afraid. They weren't gonna face this man. And David came, and he's a little boy. Okay, David comes and he's witnessing all this, and so you have this armies, these soldiers. That's what their job is to battle. That's their purpose, is to be in battle, to serve the king in battle. And they're afraid. They're hiding. They're shirking their duties, so to speak. And so, but you have, like I said before, you have the Israelites who have been delivered so many times. God has shown them so much protection. He has taken care of them for so long. He led them out of Egypt. He's done so many things throughout the years for Israel. And they don't have any faith either that he can or he will deliver them from this battle. So they're hiding. But when you think about that, we're talking about God's chosen people. I've said that a number of times, God's chosen people. God spoke the entire universe into existence. His very word can create the world. And he has told them time and time again, I have got you. You're mine. I will protect you. Do what I'm asking you to do. And they're afraid. And it's sad. Let's skip down to verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And if you skip down to 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. You have a kid, and he sees this going on. He sees Goliath mocking the entire army of Saul. He's there to deliver some food because his daddy told him to, and he's a good little boy, and he does what he's told. Okay, and he's there delivering the food. He's doing what he was supposed to do, and he sees this giant making fun of Israel, and he says, "What are we going to do about this? This little kid. What are we going to do about this?" He doesn't look at it as he's defying Israel so much as he's defying the living God, our God. He's defying him. What are we going to do about it? And then he goes and he asks, let me fight him. A kid, let me fight him. Let me take this battle on. So anyhow, he has great faith. He has great courage. He believes what he's been taught and what he has seen over the years from his God. He knows that God will protect them and that God will take care of him. Now we're going to read 33 through 37. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. All right. So Saul, he up to this point has had no faith that they could defeat Goliath. He has had no faith. But David, a little boy, comes to him and says, listen, I'm not going to sit back and listen to this. Let me go do something about it. And he says, you're not able. And he says, well, I've fought a lion, I fought a bear, I did those things. And evidently, David was pretty convincing, because as we already read, the deal was, is if you can send a man to defeat me, then we'll be your servants. But if we defeat him, you will be our servants. So Saul had to have some kind of faith all of a sudden. So whatever David said to him, however he said it, and the conviction he said it with, turned his unbelief around. He started believing, well, maybe the Lord can use this kid, you know. Otherwise, why would he trust his kingdom being turned over as servants? He's trusting that to a small kid. So he had to have some kind of faith, right? So if we go on to read 40 through 47, and it says, and he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Excuse me. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare his shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Okay, we know the rest of the story, right? So David comes out, and he's got his stave. You know, he's a shepherd. He comes out, and he gets him some stones, and you've got the giant. He's looking at this kid, and I'm sure if you're the giant, you're looking, and you're just in unbelief. I've been challenging you for what? What did it say? How long did it say? 40 days? He'd been challenging them for a while every day. Send somebody to me, and I'll beat them, you know. And so they sent somebody, and it's a kid. And Goliath is looking at this kid and said, what are you doing? This is an insult. What am I, a dog? You're going to come at me with a stick? And David said, it's not me. It's my God. My God's going to take care of you, and he's going to allow me to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. You're fixing to die, and I'm cutting your head off. And this little kid did not, it didn't faze him a bit, this giant. And so, and out of that, he didn't take any of the glory. He didn't say, this is what I'm going to do. He said, this is what my God's going to allow me to do. This is what God's going to do. And so there's a difference there. He gives all the glory to God. And so when we look at that, we look at a child, and we look at it going from a whole army with no faith, no belief in God, that's delivered them numerous times throughout the history of their country. And we have a little boy who comes up, and he still has the faith. He's not afraid. He's not scared. And he puts his faith into action. He takes a stand for God. And so that brings me to the next part of this. And this part I'm going to ask for participation. If you don't care, when I ask you a question, I either want you to answer it or raise your hand, okay? So who in here is afraid of something? Okay, several hands raised, not every hand raised. So everybody, or a lot of people in here are afraid of something. I'm afraid of something. My wife. I'm afraid of heights and tight spaces. Is there a verse in the Bible that scares you? How many of you... When you think about the different verses in the Bible, I know a lot of times we look at the verses in the Bible and we look for encouragement and to be uplifted, but is there anything in here that scares you? So I see some heads shaking. Yeah. Anybody want to share that? No? No one wants to share? Okay. That's okay. I really don't think anyone will admit it, but I'm going to read a verse that I think that scares people. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, I know we heard these verses recently from Brother Matt, and we've heard them numerous times, just like the story of David and Goliath. But these verses, it says, verse 19 says, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Okay, this is God telling us to do something, and he's telling us he's going to be with us. Okay, the same as he's told the armies of Israel. And the reason I say we're afraid of this, when I say we, I'm not just saying y'all, I'm saying we. There's a lot of us that are afraid of this verse. I think that we're afraid of it. It's an action thing. Go is a verb. It's asking us to do something. It's telling us to do something. And whether we're going to say, yes, we're afraid of that verse, or that verse scares us, or whether we're not going to say that, you don't have to say anything. Our actions tell that. Our actions, what we do in our lives tell that. This verse scares us because we don't put it into action. We don't follow through with it. Our main purpose, our main goal as a Christian is what? Spread the gospel, bring others to Christ, right? We have, this is not just a problem with our church, it's a problem with all churches. When you ask people about their outreach, who goes on outreach? How many, a lot of churches don't believe in outreach. A lot of churches don't go on outreach. Here we have sign-up lists. People won't even sign up. They're so afraid of outreach. You know, we show up and we go to outreach. And I know people do it different times and do it different ways. But this verse, it's evident by our lives that this verse scares us. We're afraid to do what this verse says. And realistically, if we look at it, let me go back and look at 1 Samuel again. Chapter 17. There's a verse in there that I skipped on purpose, but I'm going to go back and read it now. Verse 28. And it says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother," talking about David, David's older brother, "heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see this battle." So, I think his brother's so embarrassed that his little brother is showing up and doing what he should be doing. And I think sometimes we get that attitude. We get mad at people. We get upset because realistically, we know we're not doing what we're supposed to do in our lives. We're not doing what we should be doing. And so instead of dealing with that and going to the Bible and going to the Lord and trying to fix it, we lash out. We try to hurt others. And so it's kind of like we're embarrassed. We're embarrassed by the way our Christian lives are being led. Okay. So we tend to act in ways that we shouldn't to those that are willing to stand up and are willing to go out and are willing to do what we're commanded to do. And so that we've talked about that fear. We've talked about fear. Let's talk about the other side. Just like in the story of David and Goliath, it starts out and it's all fear, but then the belief comes through. So let's talk about some of that belief. Who believes the Bible? Who believes what it says? Okay. Hopefully everybody's raising their hand. I know some people are kind of not participants, non-participatory. But hopefully we all believe the Bible. That's why we're here. This is the Wednesday night crowd, so to speak. And so we believe the Bible. And so, but who really believes the Bible? And the reason I ask it that way, let me ask you this way. How many of you go to work and sit beside somebody that's not saved? Or go to school and sit beside somebody that's not saved? How many of us go to a family reunion or even to our brother or sister's house or even sit at a table with our children or our spouse that may not be saved? And we never tell them about God. If we truly believe the Bible and what it says, the Bible describes hell as a terrible place, darkness, gnashing of teeth, lake of fire, eternal death, damnation and punishment forever and eternity. That's the way the Bible describes it. If we believe that, we don't believe it. But if we truly believed it, we wouldn't be able to sit at a table with someone we knew was lost without telling them about Jesus. We wouldn't be able to look our family in the faces without telling them about Jesus. It would be burning inside of us to tell others about Jesus. And we don't do it. That's a scary thing. Because I say we because I do the same thing. I go to work with people that aren't saved. I sit in offices with people that aren't saved. I sit at family reunions with people that aren't saved. And I don't tell them about Jesus. That's a lack of belief. It's a lack of faith that the Bible is what it says it is. Because if we truly believe that, we're not going to sit back and at least not tell them. It's like I've heard Brother Isaac or somebody say, how much do you have to hate somebody not to tell them about Jesus? And we're not even telling the people that we love. You know, one thing when I look at this and I think about that, because I'm guilty, several of us are guilty, a lot of people are, we've all been guilty of it sometime in our lives. I mean, there's no denying that. And we'll be guilty of it again. But we look at things and we look at, the mission fields, the different mission reports we see and the people coming to present mission work. And we, you know, that's what typically what we think of when we see this, go ye therefore. The verses in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and we think about those mission fields and how we can help missionaries go seek those people and help them. But if you go outside and you look around, you can't look in any direction without knowing there's people out there that are lost. There's plenty of work. There's plenty of places to go right here in Muldrow, right here in Squee County, right by where I live, right by where you live. There's places to go where they don't know Jesus Christ. And but I'm going to wrap up with this. This is, Isaiah's being called, basically. And this is a verse that I think that we should all adopt, and we should memorize this verse, and we should use this verse, and we should think about this every time we get the opportunity. But it says, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" We should adopt that attitude. Here am I, send me. It's easy to sit here and say that we have faith and we believe the Bible. It's easy to say that, we should be doing outreach, and that, no, we're not afraid to do it, but our lives prove differently. We need to adopt this verse, "Here am I, send me." You know, just as Isaiah did. So that's what I have for you tonight. I'm going to ask. I don't like reading God's word out in the church service without having an invitation. So I'll ask you, the musicians, come and give you an opportunity. If you feel like you need to respond in any way, if you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you. If you've never been saved, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, our God is an awesome God. He loves you. He wants to save you. And so take this opportunity, if you've never accepted Him, to respond.